Psalm 62, beginning at verse 11, the Bible says, "Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work." This morning I want to share a message that I've simply entitled, "The Power." The power. When we think about the word power, we understand that it's something that people search for. It's something that people fight for. They manipulate for it. They jockey for it. They pay for it. They compete for it. They politic for it. And there are even a lot of people that will die for power. Power is the ability to do, but it's also the ability to direct or influence the behavior of others or the course of events. Power is also energy. It is the source behind activity. You can't have activity if you don't have power. Leaders understand power. They understand how to direct or influence people. They understand how to direct and influence events. And some wield power for good while others for evil. Some will lead with wisdom and compassion, and others will lead through fear and coercion. I remember when I was still in Columbus and I was working for a company that did customer service for UPS, which was an interesting job. Anytime you deal with people over the phone, it's always a lot of fun, especially when you have a mute button. Isn't that awesome? Y'all may not know this, but when you go to the bank at the drive-thru, don't yell at the teller. They'll just turn you off, and then you're just sitting out there yelling at a pole. And it's really funny to watch you yell at a pole. I've been there. I've done it. Not yelled at the pole. I've watched you yell at the pole. But I remember I was in Columbus and we were taking a leadership class that was sponsored, and the managers and team leaders were supposed to take it. And the guy asked, "What is leadership?" And so I raised my hand and, in my good John Maxwell voice, I said, "Leadership is influence." And he kind of scoffed at me. Influence. He said, "I can influence you to do anything. I can kick you in the shin and influence you." I said, "Well, that's true, but you're still the leader." Right? It doesn't matter how you get me to follow you. If I'm following you, you're the leader. So leaders understand influence and they use that influence because they have power. But power is connected to authority. Power is the ability, but authority is what gives you the right to use or exert the power. But authority is rooted in who you are as a person. It is rooted in your character. It's rooted in how you relate to each other. Authority is an expression of one's self, and it comes from position. And you can delegate authority, but you can't delegate responsibility. Everybody needs to kind of understand that. "Well, I had so-and-so do it." Yeah, but somebody has to answer for it. Right? You can delegate authority, but you can't delegate responsibility. It's still yours, ladies and gentlemen. But we all know that authority mostly is seen. Kids have to learn about power and authority. Parents have authority by virtue of who they are, by their position. And that authority is expressed in power. Power such as correction or punishment or even in reward, we are expressing power. Authority is the why behind the action. I know all of you who are parents, grandparents, you understand that your children are a bunch of big why people. Not the letter why, but the question why. I don't know if it changes much as they get older, but right now, Avery, my four-year-old, he wants to know why. And that's how he says it. Why? No matter what is said, put that down, Avery. Why? Why can't I punch them in the stomach? Why? And you have to be able to give them the why, right? And of course, the go-to answer for most parents is what? Because I said so. Because I said so. Spoken very well from someone who has authority, but doesn't know what to do with it. Because I said so. Amen. But it's the character of the person that allows power to make sense. It gives ultimate influence to the power. Your character is what gives ultimate influence to power. Because you can have power but yet be disrespected because of your character. Psalm 62 says something very powerful here. It says, power belongs to God. I want you to get that. I want you to hear what the psalmist says there. Power belongs to God. Power is God's. He owns it. He has the monopoly on power. You're not going to turn on the power without his permission. You're not going to plug anything in unless you plug it into him, et cetera, et cetera. He has the power. I know we all get a power bill. How many of you get a power bill? How many of you vomit every time you get the power bill? It's wintertime now. Power bills are starting to look crazy, right? If you've got gas, you understand what I'm saying. Not gas like in your stomach, but gas. If you have gas heat, you understand what I'm saying. But we recognize that everything belongs to God. He is the God of the universe. And the Bible says that power belongs to him. And so as men and women spend their time and energy trying to climb the towers of power in business and politics and world affairs, the Bible says that God sits in the universe and he does whatever he pleases. Power has the possibility in many cases to destroy relationships, and it will empty people's souls as they fight for power. But the God of heaven and earth rules with love and compassion as the savior of every broken and every empty person. Even power given to governmental agencies by the will of the people is only a rule that lasts for temporary seasons and during temporary events. But God's rule began before I even existed and will still be here when all other kingdoms rise and fall. No one voted God into power. No one delegated to him his authority. No one needs to give him permission to exist. His power flows from who he is. His power flows from his character. He has authority to exercise his power because of the goodness and the greatness of who he is. He is the self-existent one who is powerful within himself. Church, power belongs to God. He is the source of all power and all energy. And so we can look around us and say, let the world struggle and fight and compete for the temporary power that this world has to offer. The God of the universe has all power and rules with the character of a benevolent king. Jesus told Pilate, you have no power unless it be given to you from above. Jesus said, all power and all authority have been given to me in heaven and in earth. So don't be fooled by the raging pride of the world. Don't be frightened by the grandiose huffing and puffing of the world's leaders. All power and all authority belongs to God. People may have their finger on a nuclear weapon, may have their finger on a button to launch a nuclear weapon, but all power belongs to God. But we also recognize we don't just concern ourselves with earthly and worldly power. We all know that behind the scenes, there is a kingdom of darkness that is trying to exert its power. And I want everybody to know in here this morning, there are only two sources of supernatural power. And if that power is not rooted and sourced in God, then it is found in Satan. Right. And we need to recognize that. We need to recognize that our source of power either comes from the Holy Spirit or it comes from an unholy spirit. Right. There is a devil. And he uses, as we know, deceit and accusation and fear and temptation to try and defeat God's redemptive purposes in our lives. And this is the story of the Bible, church. That God is redeeming us and saving those who will believe and translating us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. This is the story of the Bible. When we read the stories of the great Old Testament characters and the letters in the New Testament, they're all pointing to one fact. Man is lost and broken and in need of a savior. And so God came in human flesh to rescue and save us. This is the story of the Bible. And so the enemy does everything he can to distract us from the redemptive purposes of God in our lives. But church, make no mistake about it. God is greater. God is bigger. God has the power. His power is unhindered by the pathetic meddling of the devil and his minions. The Bible tells us that Satan fell from heaven like lightning, and God's power confronted him in the person of Jesus Christ when he healed the sick and he raised the dead and he did miracles and he preached the gospel to the broken and the lost. Satan was stripped of all his power through the cross and the resurrection, and he has nothing to look forward to but an eternal lake of fire. So do not fear the activities of darkness. Do not be dismayed with the work of the devil and his cohorts. All power and all authority belong to God. No matter how much your world many times feels like it may be falling apart, you are in the hands of the God of the universe. Jesus said, folks, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He's been a loser for a long, long time. He wasn't just defeated at the cross in the resurrection. He's been losing since the beginning. And God's purposes will not be stopped. His word will not return unto him void. Why? Because God has the power. Now, here's what's often about the power of God. The power of God is the activity of God that reveals to us the authority of God. Therefore, the power of God reveals to us the character of God. The power of God is the invasion of the divine into the affairs of men. It is the revelation of God's purpose in our lives. See, one of the beautiful realities, one of the beautiful truths of Christianity is that God is not outside or away from our everyday lives. Most other religions, most other false religions and cults will look at God as a distant figure, that God is somehow unreachable and no way would he come to where we are. But Christianity is so much different. What Christianity teaches us is that God is not gone. He is not so distant that he cannot be experienced. His power reveals to us his desire to still reveal himself to our world. Church, God didn't just put the world in motion and then sit back and say, "Have at it, folks." Jesus didn't even come and walk on this planet and die on the cross and resurrect and go back to heaven to say, "Well, I did my part. Hope you can make it." The story of the gospel, the story and the reality of Christianity is that God is still here, that God is still active, that God didn't take a break or go on vacation and hope you can make it. God is still involved in our lives. God is not quiet. God is not impotent or powerless. He is not deaf that he cannot hear. He is the God of the universe, and he's the God of me. He's big enough to sustain the universe, but he loves me enough to spend time on Roosevelt Avenue in Canal City. Come on now. This is what's so awesome about the God we serve and the story of Christianity. It almost sounds too good to be true. It almost sounds like sacrilege. God became a man so that God could feel what we feel and give what he can give and be with us where we are. This is the power of God. And his power is the invasion of his divine purpose into my life. So when God reveals his power to me, his activities are revealing to us his ways, and it gives us a glimpse of his heart. It gives us a glimpse of who he is. When God saves the lost, it is a revelation of the heart of a loving Savior. The power of God to heal reveals his heart to restore and renew. The power of God to provide and protect and comfort and deliver and bless is a revelation of the heart of our most gracious Heavenly Father. And so we understand God is powerful. And it began at creation, when he spoke the universe into existence, when he flung the stars into space, when he spoke a word and things were made. And of course, his powerful creative power culminated in the creation of man. And it is upon man that God has chosen to use his power to reveal his character and fulfill his purpose. The Bible tells me I'm not supposed to think too highly of myself. But the psalmist even says, what is man? What is man that you are mindful of him? Who are we that this God, this amazing God that measures the universe with a span, who uses the earth as a footstool, the nations are but a drop in the bucket. From everlasting to everlasting, Moses said in Psalm 90, thou art God. What else can we say about this amazing God? But he has chosen to express his redemptive purposes on broken, rebellious people. I am the object of his affection, and I am the one for whom he demonstrates his power. Do you hear what I'm saying? You are the object of his affection, and he has chosen you to be the reason for which he reveals his power and his purpose. God's power has no equal. We're not talking about God being just slightly over the devil. We're talking about a God who is victorious. We're talking about a God who reigns over all. We're talking about a God whose power is limitless. We're talking about a God whose power is infinite and bottomless and unchanging and eternal, and it never loses its potency. How many of you ever thought you were powerful and then you got halfway through and realized you weren't as strong as you thought you were? Huh? You know, as men, we know that we think we can pick up anything, right? And here's the thing for you guys. Something is never too heavy. It's just awkward. This is not too heavy. It's just really awkward. Because we can pick up anything. But our power is not limitless. Our power runs out. Even when we think we can do, you know, once you get up into your 40s, you can't do what you did when you were in your 20s. You think you can, but you can't. Right? Even if you don't look like you're 40, you feel like it. Because we're running out. It's the second law of thermodynamics. Everything is wearing out. The universe itself is wearing out. The Bible says it will be burnt up with a fervent heat. But God never loses his power. He never comes short. He never runs out. There is no end to it. There's no measurement for it. The Bible promises that his power will strengthen the weak and will guard the faithful. His power has the ability to deliver, as we read in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. His power has the ability to fulfill promises, as we read in Romans chapter 4, verse 21, and talking about the blessing upon Abraham's life. His power has the ability to make grace abound in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. His power has the ability to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, according to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. His power has the ability to save to the uttermost anyone who will believe, according to Hebrews 7, verse 25. And his power has the ability to keep us from falling, according to Jude, verse 24. We recognize that the power of God is the source of energy, the source of victory, the source of overcoming, the source of living in this life. Psalm 62 reveals to us the heart of this powerful God. When we look through some of the passages of Scripture in Psalm 62, in verse 2, it says, he only is my rock, he's my salvation, he's my defense. I will not be moved. The Bible says there in verse 5, he is my expectation. That means he's my hope. That means that when I get up every morning, because God is alive, because he lives, because Jesus is alive, hope is alive. My expectation level can go up because God is alive. Church, I don't think the issue in our life is that we're expecting too little. We're not expecting enough. As we look at this passage of Scripture, it goes on and tells us that not only is he our expectation, our hope, he's our glory, he's our refuge. And the psalmist says, of course, he's my God. Man, this is what's so awesome about Christianity and the reality of the cross and the resurrection. God is not just someone else's God. He's not just enthroned or enshrined in some type of belief system. He's not just enshrined in some type of creed. He is my God. He is your God. He is your personal king. He is your Lord and your Savior, your healer and your provider, your strength and your rock and your defense, and you will not be moved. This is the power. God's power is rooted in his sovereignty. A sovereign, obviously, is the supreme authority. He is the last word. God's sovereignty stretches through every aspect of time and is present in every place, in every situation, and in every circumstance. What is so awesome about God is that nothing takes him by surprise. Your situation didn't come along, and all of a sudden God said, I didn't see that coming. God doesn't fall off his throne because something happened to you. Oh, what am I going to do? God knows. God has seen. God has been there already. He is sovereign, and it extends to every place, every circumstance, every situation, which means our world and our lives are in his hands, and nothing escapes his notice or his providence. Sometimes it's hard for us to understand the sovereignty of God, of what he knows and how much he is involved in the minute details of life. It's hard for us sometimes to wrap our brains around the fact that God was. Not only is eternity hard enough, or future eternity, that's hard enough to wrap your minds around, isn't it? We're going to live forever. Forever. It's never going to end. That's hard to wrap our minds around, but to think that God has always been. He's always been. Go back in time, and you'll have to go farther, and then you'll have to go farther, and then you'll have to go farther. This is the sovereignty of God. And because God is sovereign, this has powerful effects. Number one, it gives power to his word. The word is powerful because it is the expressed will of the sovereign who has spoken it. And the word of God, we have to recognize that the word of God is not just words on pages. We're not just talking about a book. We're talking about a person. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. Why? Because he is the expression of God. That everything we saw Jesus do in the Gospels is a revelation of the heart of God for humanity. And so because God is sovereign over the universe, because Jesus was slain from the foundations of the world, because God has had a plan from the beginning of time, and no matter what the devil does or what the world does or church, even what you think you can do, the purpose and plan of God will be fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall stand forever. The psalmist said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Every promise and every commandment carries life-changing power. And that's because he's sovereign, because he's God. So when he speaks, it's not flippant. It's not an idea. He's not just throwing something out there. Hey, guys, chew on this a minute. When God speaks, it becomes flesh. When God speaks, it fulfills things. When he speaks, things are created. Man, if we recognized how powerful our words were, If we realize, you know, I'm not God, and obviously I can't speak Saturn into existence, but wouldn't that be amazing if we could? We would be less flippant about our words, wouldn't we? Some of you just could not watch sports because everyone would be dead. They'd all be dead. And some of you are wondering why God hasn't killed them. Did y'all see that finger? Did you see his finger? He's sovereign, and so it gives power to his word. Secondly, it gives power to faith. Faith is powerful, and faith is not powerful necessarily in our ability to exercise it. And I'm not saying that we're not called to exercise our faith. Most certainly we are. We're supposed to act in faith. We're supposed to stand by faith. We receive from God by faith. For a matter of fact, every promise is available to us, and the power of God is activated in our lives by faith. God, when God speaks his word, there has to be faith to find that word in order for God's power to be activated in our lives. But ultimately, the power of faith is not in us. It's not in our ability to believe or in our ability to exercise that faith. Our faith is powerful because of the one and the object in whom we trust. Our faith is powerful because we've placed our trust in the one whom is powerful. Our faith is powerful because we have placed our trust in the one who has all power and all authority. So let's make no mistake about it. I believe that we're supposed to walk by faith. I believe that faith-filled people are powerful people, but they are powerful in their relationship to the one in whom they trust. Because you can put your faith in a lot of stuff, can't you? You can believe in the wrong thing. You can have faith that something's going to happen and it not happen and then get frustrated because you don't recognize the providence and the sovereignty of God. So my faith is not even necessarily in results. I've even heard people say, have faith in your faith. That doesn't make any sense to me. I even had someone tell me one time they had an unbelievable amount of faith. It's unbelievable that you even made that statement. You don't have faith in faith. You have faith in God. You have faith in God's faithfulness. You have faith in God's word. You have faith in God's power. When I go to prayer, I believe that I'm praying to the one who can make things happen. I'm not praying because I'm great. My prayers aren't changing anything. It is God who is at work. It is his power that is being revealed. It is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And so my faith is in him. It gives power to his word. It gives power to faith. Number three, it gives power to love. We heard an awesome message last week from Andy. If you didn't hear it, you can get online and listen to it, or you can get a CD. You need to hear that message. It was a powerful message about the love of God and about what it means to walk in love. And yes, love is what will change the world. But love is only powerful because God loved us first. I'm not saying that we can't love each other without God in our lives. I'm not showing that we can't show care and compassion if we don't even believe in God or if God's not in our lives. But we cannot truly recognize and understand world-changing, sacrificial love unless it's first given to us by God. The Bible says that we love him because he loved us first. Because he reached out to us. So the power of love is rooted in the heart of God. Love is powerful. Love is strong. Love changes people's lives. Love turns the world upside down. Love stops the mouth of hatred and racism and elitism. It stops the mouth of those who would attack from every side. Love overcomes, but it only overcomes because it's rooted in the heart of the Father. Yes, love is powerful, but it's powerful because God is love. It is powerful because God's character is revealed when we love. And number four, because God is sovereign, because he is powerful, it gives power to obedience. Because God is God, we can trust him. And obedience becomes the natural reaction of our love and faith. When we love God, when we trust God, we obey God. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some people that can be doing things for God and not love him. There are going to be people whose lives are a flurry of activity and they not know him. They're not trusting him. They're trusting their own abilities, or they're doing works so that they can get performance points, or they're doing works because they want someone to see them and to pat them on the back. Yes, I understand there can be ulterior motives to obedience, but make no mistake, if you love God, if you trust God, you will obey God. So even though there may be people out there that look really good, look how good I am doing stuff for God, and you sit back and look and say, man, they're a saint. They ought to be enshrined. We ought to put their picture on the wall at the church. Look at how awesome they are. They're busy. Devils are running. But there's a possibility they'll stand before God and him saying, I never knew you. I know you preached in my name. I know you did miracles in my name. You'd cast out devils in my name. But I don't know who you are. But you can know this for sure. If someone loves God, if someone is walking by faith, they will walk in obedience. And obedience, church, finds its power in service. We have to recognize that as we obey the King in service to others, as we obey the King in service to others, the Bible tells me that I am a co-worker with God. I'm a co-worker with God. If you want to see the blessings of God's power on your life, then serve. Obey. Obey God. The gifts of the Spirit, church, are not given to those who stand by the wayside and watch others. The gifts of the Spirit is not given to those who sit on the side and critique. Am I right? We have them all. We know they're everywhere we go. No matter what you do, you can do 99 things right, but if you do one wrong, it will be magnified, it will be enshrined, it will be put on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? There's always going to be people that are against us, but that doesn't mean we don't stop obeying. That doesn't mean that we don't stop. That doesn't mean that we stop serving. If we're going to see the power of God revealed in our lives, we've got to obey. And obedience does require us to take steps of faith. Obedience requires us to love people. Obedience requires us to trust the word of God. So the power of God all culminates in this thing called obedience to God. It all culminates. There is power in the word, there is power in faith, and there is power in love. But it all culminates into this one thing called obedience. Yeah. Tell me you love God. Tell me you trust God. Or show me you love God. Show me you trust God. Because we will obey him. And when we obey him, the power of God is revealed. And so we're going to have to step out. We got to take risks. Loving people requires risks. Believing God requires risks. Standing on the promises of God requires risks. Many times we are stepping out and there's nothing there to hold on to. All we have is the word of God. Sometimes we've got to get into the boat, even when the storm is howling, even when the waves are raging. And here's what I think, you know, I always like to think of stories in the Bible as happening today, and I can only imagine that there the disciples were in the boat, they're out in the middle of the water, Jesus is sleeping, the storm comes along, waves are being tossed, they're scared out of their minds, and there's probably some followers of Jesus over on the shore pointing at them going, look at those big dummies. I tried to warn them. I tried to tell them not to go out there. If I was out there, this is how I'd do it. But you're not out there, are you? You didn't even get in the boat. It's easy to critique and fault find when you're standing on the shore. But if you're going to obey God, you got to get in the boat. You got to go. You got to believe. Because it's here. It's here in service. It's here in obedience. It's here in walking out the word of God that we get the greatest revelation of whom God is. Jesus stands up in the boat and tells the wind to stop. And the disciples said, what? Who is this guy that even the wind and the waves obey him? If they would have never gotten in the boat, they would have never gotten that revelation. if they would have never obeyed and said, we're going to the other side, no matter the obstacle, no matter the hindrance, no matter the critique, no matter the fear, no matter the devil, no matter what the world throws against me, I'm getting in a boat because he said, go to the other side. If they would not have done that, they would have never received that revelation. You want to see the power of God revealed in your life? Yes. Read the word, study the word, stand on the word. Yes. Walk by faith, pray by faith. Yes. Love people like you're crazy. But at the end of it, obey God. As we give thanks this season, we're coming up on the Thanksgiving season, we should give thanks for the sovereign God we serve. We live in a very chaotic, crazy world. We live in a very scary world that seems to be at the very verge of falling apart every moment. We wake up every day and look at the news and we're wondering if something awful has happened, something terrible has happened, something world-changing has happened. But we also have to recognize that God's power sustains the very universe, yet invades our everyday lives. We are blessed because God has chosen to reveal his power to us and in us.